Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to our Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church. Pastor John McIntosh and I thank you for joining us today and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. And if you like what you hear, please invite your loved ones to tune in as well. Our church continues to meet every Sunday by way of teleconferencing until we find a permanent church sanctuary. Please join us every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. via freeconference.com. Our call-in number is 605-313-4834, and the access code is 997-020#. You may also obtain this call-in information on our website at kccfc.net. One more important announcement. Spiritual warfare is real and constant. If you want clear, godly instructions on how to be victorious, spirit, soul, and body, you need to buy my book titled Prayers That Reach the Throne of God. You may purchase my book on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or visit our website at kccfc.net. This God-inspired teaching on prayer will give you the understanding on how to pray effectively against Satan and his demonic assignments. Now, the next voice you hear will be that of Pastor John McIntosh.
Good morning. This is Pastor John McIntosh from Kansas City Christian Faith Center, where we love people, live victoriously, spirit, soul, and body. And let me welcome you to our radio broadcast. And please remember these words from the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Well, praise God for another opportunity and the privilege to share with you the living word of God. Amen. Family, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege and the honor to gather around your word. It is our sincere desire to know you more personally so we may serve you more faithfully. We invite the Holy Spirit in to think through my mind and speak through my lips the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding, and the truth of the only true and living God. I pray for everyone within the sound of my voice that their ears are open to hear and their hearts to receive the uncompromising word of God. Satan, we rebuke you and all your demonic demons and render all your powers null and void. And you cannot stop anyone from receiving what they came for today. This we ask and we covenant with you in the name of Jesus the Christ, the anointing one, we pray. Shalom. Amen. Well, praise God. Today we're going to do a teaching entitled, The Greatest Gift Given. The Greatest Gift Given. Most of the world, and surely the Christian community, are in our season where we are celebrating arguably the most sacred of holidays, with the exception of Resurrection Sunday, Christmas, the birth of Christ. It has been hailed as the greatest gift given in the history of mankind. There is none greater, barring none. Webster's New College Dictionary defines a gift as something given to show friendship, affection, support, a thing given willingly to someone without payment, a present, an act of giving something as a present. So we can say a gift is something given willingly to someone for friendship, affection, support, and without payment. And this is what we can proclaim today. The greatest gift of affection and support for his people, God gave us his son, Christ Jesus. I would like to discuss some things to bring to your remembrance so you won't forget what the real reason for this season we are celebrating today. Amen. It's always good to be with family, to give gifts, and enjoy good food and fellowship. But let's not get it twisted here. The Bible says it this way. If you go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Again, the 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. It says, let no one in any way deceive you. It's like that lie and deception of Santa Claus, which has been promulgated down through the years to our children. Parents need to tell their children the truth about Santa Claus, because when you begin with a lie, you are going to have to continue adding to that lie. And before you know it, it has gotten so big that it can and has destroyed the truth entirely and added to the dismantling of our society. Amen. And believe me, your children and grandchildren will be just as happy when they see those presents under the tree, even if Santa Claus was never mentioned. For at that moment, they wouldn't care where those presents came from. They are happy that they just received that gift. Amen? They don't care. Now, please go with me to the book of John, chapter 3. Again, that's John, chapter 3, verse 16. And we're going to read this verse from the New Testament of Modern Speech by Richard Francis Wayman. And it says, for so greatly did God love the world that he gave his only son, that everyone who trusts in him may not perish, but may have the life of the ages. Amen, amen. So we see that God greatly loved the world. He gave his son. Man would not perish, and we would have life of the ages. What else can we ask for as humans? The scripture says that God loved the world that he gave. That he gave. That he gave. Well, what did he give? We all know that he gave his son Jesus. But he also gave us something else. Turn with me, please, to 1 John. That's the epistles or letters of John, chapter 2. Again, that's 1 John, chapter 2, verse 25. And it says, and this is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life. So not only did Jesus come that we can reconcile ourselves and our fellowship and our relationship with back with him, but he also promised us eternal life. Amen. The real message for Christmas is not the gifts that we give to each other. Those are good, and it's good to give gifts. Rather, it is a reminder of the gift that God has given to the world and to each of us. During this Christmas season, we will hear the name of Jesus more than any other name. It's the gift God has given the world, the gift that is so perfect, nothing compares. Amen. Many people think the giving of gifts at Christmas was started by the wise men when they brought gifts to the Savior, Christ the Lord. But it was God who gave the first Christmas gift. Please go with me to the book of John, chapter 3. Again, that's John, chapter 3. And we're going to read verse number 16. And it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. On the day of Jesus' birth, God gave the greatest gift of all. He gave his Son. Jesus Christ was God's Christmas gift, and God never gives us anything but his best. Let me repeat that. God never gives us anything but his best. So we, as his children, we should give him nothing less but our best. Amen? Nothing less but our best. Now go with me to the book of James, chapter 1. Again, James, chapter 1, verse 17. And it says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and come down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. He gave his Son to die on the cross, so we can have our sins forgiven, peace with God, a purpose for living, and a home in heaven. Now, it says something. He gave his Son so we can have peace with God. Now, that word peace has another meaning than the traditional meaning, what we think it means. It also means nothing missing, nothing broken. So when you have the peace of God, you have nothing missing, nothing broken. Your family's whole. Your children are doing well. Your job is doing well. You're financially okay. You're in divine health from the crown of your head to the sole of your feet, because you have the peace of God. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Amen. Jesus is the original perfect, personal, and indescribable Christmas gift. And the amazing thing about this gift is we are giving and have been given the privilege to share it with others. Amen. We can take the word of God that has been taught to us and we can share it with others. That's the love of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to share the gospel, the good news of Christ to a dying world. Amen. Nothing more satisfying than that, to tell people about who they are, what they can have, and what they can do in Christ Jesus. Amen? Did you know that there are about 300 prophecies in the Old Testament about the coming of Christ, and the fulfillment of that prophecy is one of the greatest proofs of the deity of Jesus Christ? 700 years before the birth of Christ. Let me repeat that. 700 years before the birth of Jesus Christ, the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, one of the major prophets, prophesies to his audience in such magnificent words that a child has been given to mankind, and he will come with a multifaceted purpose and benefits. Please go to the book of Isaiah, chapter 9. Again, that's Isaiah, chapter 9. And let's go to verse 6. And it says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. That gift is Jesus. Yes, that babe that was in the manger, the Savior of the world. Hallelujah. Now go with me, please, to the book of Romans, chapter 9. Again, that's Hebrews chapter 9. Excuse me, I said Romans, but we're going to Hebrews chapter 9. And let's go to verse number 14. And it says, but much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. The what? The living God. Yes, we are the only ones that serve the only true and living God. God, Jesus, is God's perfect gift to us. Jesus is God's perfect gift to us. And he brought the promise of unconditional love, unending hope, and eternal life to every person who believes in him. God's perfect gift is the gift we celebrate, Christ's birth on Christmas Day. And its profound significance was best summarized by Paul the Apostle. So please go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Again, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And we're going to read verses 15. It says, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. A gift only becomes a gift when it is accepted. And who can reject such a wonderful gift? And it is said that a gift must meet three criteria. Number one, the gift should reflect the one who gives it. Let me repeat that. The gift should reflect the one who gives it. Criteria number two, the gift should reflect knowledge of the one who received it. In other words, knowledge of their needs, their desires, their tastes, etc. Let me repeat that. Criteria number two, the gift should reflect the knowledge of the one who received it. In other words, knowledge of their needs, their desires, their tastes, etc. And criteria number three, the gift should be of a nature and quality that will hold its value as time goes on. Repeat that. The gift should be of a nature and quality that will hold its value as time goes on. You know, in our society, as soon as you buy, say, an automobile or a new computer or just about anything, as soon as you drive that car off the lot or as soon as you take that computer or whatever electronic device you might purchase, you walk out the store with it, well, you done lost half its value. If that car costs you $60,000, you can't turn around, make a U-turn, and go back in and resell it for $60,000. No, you probably won't be able to get $30,000 for it. Amen. Because it's lost its value. But the gift that Jesus gave us, hallelujah, it will never lose this value. Amen. We know God gave mankind the perfect gift when he sent his son Jesus. The gift of Jesus meets all those criteria for being the perfect gift. Amen. It meets every one of those. Jesus is the perfect gift because he reflects the Father who gave him. Please go to the book of John, chapter 10. Again, that's John, chapter 10. And we're going to read verse number 30. And this is Jesus speaking. And he simply says, I and my Father are one. I and my Father are one. So if you see Jesus, you've seen the Father. If you see the Father, you've seen Jesus. Number two, God's gift of his Son reflects knowledge of our need. God's gift of his Son reflects knowledge of our need. Please go to the book of Matthew, chapter 6. Again, Matthew, chapter 6. And we're going to read verses 31 and 32. Again, this is Jesus speaking, and it says, therefore, do not worry about what shall we eat or what shall we wear. For all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. See, the gift of Jesus is of a nature and quality that will hold its value for all eternity. It will never, ever lose its value. It's just like the blood of Jesus at Calvary. It will never, ever, ever lose its power. Amen? Please go with me to the book of Isaiah again, chapter 40. Again, that's Isaiah chapter 40, verse number 8. And it says, "The grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands forever." Amen. So the word of God will never, ever wither. It will never, ever fade. It's going to stand for everlasting. Now, please go with me to the book of John, chapter 3. Again, John, chapter 3. And we're going to read verses 35a. And it says, "He who believes in the Son has everlasting life." God gave us the perfect gift when he gave us his son Jesus. Now, in summary, Christmas is a gift of good tidings, a message of great joy, and the message of grand love. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world." The world. So let me ask you a question. Are you part of the world? So God loved you so much that he gave his only one and only son, that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Amen. I'm excited about that. Everlasting life, to be with our Lord and Savior in glory forever. Jesus came so that each of us can not only reconcile ourselves back into fellowship with him, but to know and understand God in a personal way, to have that personal fellowship and relationship with him. He alone can bring the meaning and purpose to our lives. Knowing Jesus Christ is the most exciting and exhilarating relationship you can have. It is the beginning of life of adventure with an all-loving, all-powerful God. If you have sincerely asked Christ to come into your life, you can be sure that your relationship with God is secure. Your relationship with God is sincere because through Christ, you are forgiven and accepted by God. However, God also desires for you to walk by faith and closely with him. Please turn to the book of James, chapter 4. Again, that's James, chapter 4, and verse 8. And it says, "Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you." Amen? So when you study, when you read, when you are in prayer, and when you're in personal fellowship, you are drawing near to God. That gives God the authority, the permission to come and to draw near to you. Amen? And to show you his glory. Developing a relationship with someone requires a commitment of time and obedience. So, to understand that relationship and to have it with our Heavenly Father, it takes time and commitment and obedience. Our relationship with Jesus Christ takes time. Time to learn some of the basic principles of the kingdom of life. Please turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Again, that's 1 Timothy chapter 4. And we're going to read verses 13 through 16. And it says, "Till I come, give attention to reading. Give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. continue in them, for in them this you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Amen. Only scripture is said to be profitable for reproof, correction, and training in righteousness. You should read and most importantly study the Bible because it is God's word for us. Turn to the book of Joshua chapter 1. Again, Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. It says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." Amen? So what is the greatest gift? It is Christ. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. For unto us a child is born, for unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Shalom. The greatest gift ever given is Jesus Christ, our Savior. And my time is up. I thank you for yours. God bless and Merry Christmas.
Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.